on defense, it's easier to work yourself back to neutral from the kitchen than it is to hang back and hit a perfect reset eventually. So if your drop looks like a dink that you wouldn't just run away scared of, then you should come in off of that drop. And the same thing goes for resets. All right, so before we hop into this show, I have to talk to you guys about Selkirk Nets. They've been huge for me, huge for my game. I had a long history of playing on temporary nets that were just not satisfactory. I've been in this game now for a little bit, and I remember when I was playing with temporary nets where if you hit it, you know, an inch from the top of the net, if you hit it hard, it's going over. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just not a high-quality net. And I was something of a Colin Johns as it related to those, you know, those net cords just getting mad all the time at them. And it was a pet peeve of mine. And then when Selkirk came out with their nets, I couldn't have been happier. And the truth is, they came out with their nets before I was signed with Selkirk, and I had already gotten one. So this is a pretty genuine thing. I mean, they do have the best nets, and I feel pretty happy to be able to advertise Selkirk nets because I know they're the best, and if you've played with them, you know they're the best. So shout out to Selkirk, and be sure to get Selkirk nets at selkirk.com/collections/nets. All right, so we are back with another episode of the James Ignatowicz Show, and we're going to talk about something that has been asked to me maybe more often than anything, than any other shot in the last 2 weeks, which is, how do I have more consistent third shot drops? Because if you go up in level, I think that the one thing that's really, really constant is that the drops get more consistent and more consistent and more consistent. Because, you know, if you watch the guys with the best drops in the game, which are not me, by the way, it's Ben Johns or Colin Johns, it's not like they're hitting their drops any harder or with any more topspin or any, you know, there's nothing special really about their drops in terms of like what's qualitatively different about them that makes them better than, I don't know, maybe my drops. Really, all that it is that they just make more drops than other players. And it's funny because that is really the only determinant of what is a, you know, as long as the drop is good, right? A drop that is not attackable, right? Like what is, you know, who's better at dropping? Somebody that makes 9 out of 10 unattackable drops or somebody that makes 8 out of 10 unattackable drops? It's all about consistency and just making it over and over and over again. So that was something that wasn't really a talent of mine. It took me a long time to get consistent drops, and I still kind of don't. So that's what we're really working on here. And it's funny because I think I might actually be the best at coaching this particular shot because it didn't really come natural to me. Like the shots that came super natural to me, I might not be the best at coaching them because I didn't really have to think about them, and I was just right away sort of good at them. Like the backhand counter, or maybe the overhead or something. But with drops, I had to work for every bit. Every drop that I've made, I've had to work for it because I was not talented at all for that shot. And I'm still not, but I'm kind of figuring it out. So in studying Ben and Colin and a lot of the players that have the best drops, I found that they're actually swinging a lot more slowly than they look like they're swinging, at least from my perspective. Like, I thought they were really kind of swinging in a low to high way, like not as quickly as they'd be swinging with a drive or something, but I thought there was a little bit of acceleration there, but it's really not the case. It's almost a complete push. And by push, I mean that their swing speed at the beginning of the swing is the same as their swing speed at the end of the swing. So there's no acceleration and there's no deceleration. It's just a constant pushing motion, whether that's a... So I studied a lot of the best pickleball players in terms of dropping the ball in the kitchen. And I found that something that they do so much better than, well, I would just say more consistently than others, is that their swing speed is the same almost every time. And it's almost like it looks like they might be swinging with some acceleration. And at least from my perspective, it looked like they were actually trying to get some a good amount of topspin and actually really swinging when they hit the shot. But that's really not the case. You know, I did some studying up close. Ben and Colin are the best at dropping the ball in the kitchen. I would watch them. I'd watch them practice even just, you know, lurking in the background. They probably never even noticed me. And one thing I noticed about their drops is there is almost no acceleration or real deceleration throughout the swing. It's like a constant pushing motion. So they're swinging very slowly. They're not swinging fast. And when I teach clinics and I see 4-0s, 3-5s, even 4-5s for that matter, the players that aren't super consistent and they're not 5-0s, they're the ones who are swinging way too quickly on their drops. It almost looks like they're accelerating to the point where it even could be a drive, or it could be a hybrid of a drive and a drop. And there is a place for the drive, there is a place for the hybrid of the drive and the drop. But when you're hitting drops, there should be almost no acceleration, no deceleration. You're kind of just pushing it forward. And if it's a topspin drop, you'll get a little bit of topspin naturally because you're going from low to high and you're coming under the ball. But you're not trying to, swing and get a ton of topspin like that because there's no real pro that does that. It's very hard to repeat that motion over and over because, again, the people that are the best at dropping the ball, Ben, Colin, Catherine, Anna, they're not hitting drops that are so, powerful or full of topspin. There's nothing qualitatively amazing about their drops. The only thing that separates them is that they can make, 20 out of 21 of them, right? That is the only criteria really for drops is because dropping the ball is about getting to the kitchen. You're not trying to win the point with drops. So who are the best droppers? The people that make the most drops. That's really all it is. So then you think, well, what is the most repeatable motion? It's probably one that has almost no acceleration. You're kind of just pushing it forward. You're not using any wrist, which we'll get into in a little bit. And there's really no extra wasted motion. So that was huge for me to notice that it looked like they were kind of swinging and trying to generate some spin. And sometimes with slices, it looked like they'd be really slicing it and trying to hack at the ball. That's really not what's going on. It almost kind of, it tricked me a little when I saw it at first. But the more you look, the more you'll realize it's just a constant pushing motion. There's no wrist and they're swinging very slowly. So that brings me to my next point. I was at a clinic recently that I was teaching where there were some players that were having a lot of issues making drops. It was a group of 4-5s actually that were good at almost everything but the soft stuff in transition and the drops. And I told them all to just exaggerate swinging as slow as they possibly could. So it's kind of like, if you've ever rode a bike as slow as you possibly could. Like you ever do like a race where, who can actually stay on the bike riding it as slow as they could, or just kind of like driving a car in idle, right? Just as slow as you possibly can, literally exaggerate it and then kind of build from there. So I think that's been something that really helped me because I was swinging too quickly and I was trying to get too much topspin. I was trying to literally spin the ball with my wrist, and that's not the way to do it. So if you're having some issues with consistent drops, I can almost guarantee you that you're not missing drops because you're swinging too slowly. You're probably swinging too quickly and you're probably doing too much. So with drops, it's all about keeping it simple and making it so that there's as little things that can go wrong as possible because the best drops are just the ones that go in. It's all about making as many as you possibly can in a row. It's all about consistency. So when you're hitting drops, there really shouldn't be any wrist that is used. That's another thing that's super important. I mean, you're seeing people with just going low to high with their wrist, hacking at their slices. The best players when it comes to hitting drops are the ones that are using almost no wrist. It's almost all arm, and there's nothing extra going on. So, to sort of summarize it, I would say swing as slow as you can, just push it forward. And we'll have a visual representation for this in my newsletter, which you can find. I'll probably be spreading the link out in the comments. The link's also in my Instagram bio to subscribe for it. But we'll have visual representations for it. Ultimately, when you want to hit a drop and you want it to go in, you want to use almost no wrist and you want to swing as slow as you possibly can. So the swing itself should feel like it's coming from your arm, right? And it's almost like, you're using your big muscles, not your little muscles. So you're using your shoulder and sort of your, there's maybe a little bit of shoulder turn. You're not using any of your wrist. There's no funky stuff going on. And we're going to talk about one thing that's also very important because I see this mistake happen all the time. When players hit drops, both of their feet need to be on the ground. So you never want to see somebody hitting, fadeaway drops where one foot is coming off the ground, or they're kind of running through the drop where their back foot is coming off the ground. Both of those things, it's the opposite thing, right? One person is moving through it and one person's kind of leaning back and fading away. They're both wrong, okay? So a drop should feel kind of like a free throw in basketball, really. Or it should feel like a, maybe even like a golf swing. You want a quiet body. You want to keep your feet on the ground and you want to keep them relatively still. And that's, you know, you hit the drop, you make contact with the drop. And then when you see that it's good, then you go forward. So the two mistakes that I've seen most often are people that are, and we're going to, you know, from the perspective of a righty here, a right-handed player, their left foot comes off the ground and they sort of fade away from the drop. So that is definitely not the right thing to be doing, because if you lean back and you fade away, so to speak, there's a much higher chance that that ball goes up. And a drop is not supposed to go up too much. We want to keep a pretty linear trajectory. We want to keep it low and we want to keep it unattackable. So if your left foot, or if you're a lefty, your right foot, whatever your front foot is, if your front foot is coming off the ground when you hit the drop, stop it. Keep both of your feet on the ground until you've made contact with the ball. That brings me to the next point. If you are hitting drops and you are moving through the drop and sort of running through it kind of in a rush to get to the kitchen, that is also not the way to be doing it. I've seen that a ton at these clinics. I haven't seen it a lot at the pro level. Wonder why. It's not the right way to do it, because if you're moving through your drop, it's almost impossible to, you know, move through it the same way every time, right? If you move through it at one speed another time and then you run through it faster the next, how are you supposed to keep consistency? Because a drop is something you want to make 10 times in a row, right? And how do you make it 10 times in a row? You don't have all these different variables that are going on. So one time you hit it, you're sprinting through it, and then another time you're just walking through it, right? That's not how you do it. You want to keep your drops just basically, you want to do the same thing every time, right? If you want to make a shot 10 times in a row, you can't do something differently one time and then, you know, something here and there. You can't have all this crazy stuff going on. So how do you control for that? And how do you make sure that every time you hit the drop the same way with your feet? Well, you just keep your feet on the ground every time. That's the most simple way to do it. You watch Ben, you watch Colin, that's what they're doing. You're never going to see Colin Johns just run through a drop. He keeps his feet set and then he makes contact with the ball and then he sees that it is a good drop, which we'll get into right after this. And then once he identifies that the drop is good, so to speak, he goes in. But until he makes contact with the ball, until his paddle touches the ball, his feet are still and he's not really moving forward and he's not leaning back. So stay still when you hit the drop. And then after you make contact with the ball, that's when you can move forward. So if you have any questions on that, please reach out to me in the comments. I try to be as clear as possible, but sometimes I confuse myself. It's not easy to do these solo because I don't really have anybody asking me any questions during this. I just assume that everything I say makes sense and I just keep going. So again, if there's any questions, reach out. I'm going to respond to all the comments. There was a little bit of an issue with my YouTube last time. I was trying to respond to all the comments. My comments like weren't showing up, but my boy Colin at Selkirk, he showed me this YouTube instructional video, taught me how to use YouTube. I downloaded YouTube Studio, which is some other app. I don't know. I don't really know a lot about technology. I'm just a guy who hits dinks and hits drops. Anyway, we're going to talk about our next quick topic, which is along the same line. We're talking about drops. How do you identify whether a drop is good or not? And by good, I mean, how do you identify whether a drop is one where you want to come in off of it or don't come in off of it? So it's, you know, you're not trying to hit a perfect, you know, a drop that hits like a looks like a perfect dink here, right? It's tougher to hit a drop. You want to give yourself a little more margin for error and a little more space. So it doesn't need to look like a perfect dink. For me, I identify whether a drop is good or bad, judging by, does it look like a dink that I wouldn't back up off of? Because if you're only going to come in on drops that look perfect every time, that look like great Ben Johns level dinks, well, you're never going to come into the kitchen. You have to give yourself some margin for error in some sort of way where you're like, okay, I have to come in off this because at a certain point, you know, I can't just be waiting for the perfect reset to come in, or else you'll never make it in there in the first place. So for me, I look at it like this. Does it look like a dink that I wouldn't back up off of? So does it look like a dink that is not really bad, because you're really only going to back up far off the line off of a dink that is, you know, semi-catastrophic. Is it a dink that's at their shoulder height, or is it a dink that is, you know, floating or bouncing really high? Then you back up off of it. That's a different story. If it looks like a dink that is decent or average, you should just come in. It makes sense to just come in off of that, because even though it's not perfect and you might be coming in and sort of starting behind, starting that kitchen rally, you know, on defense, it's easier to work yourself back to neutral from the kitchen than it is to hang back and hit a perfect reset eventually. So if your drop looks like a dink that you wouldn't just run away scared of, then you should come in off of that drop. And the same thing goes for resets. And like I always say, we're going to get into this really quick, even though I've said it over and over and over. When you are resetting the ball in the midcourt or even dropping from back and you're in a tough spot, the best place to hit that drop is middle. I've felt way more comfortable hitting those shots in the middle than to the sidelines. And it actually applies at all levels. I think, you know, on a basic level, at the 3-5 or 4-0 level, the middle is just safer because the net is 2 inches lower and there's less angles for your opponents to attack you from the middle than from the sideline. And as you get better and better, the sideline, there becomes more of an earning risk. You know, the pros are actually earning balls on the sideline, so you almost have to drop and reset mostly in the middle. So yeah, put most of them in the middle. I'd say about 80% of my drops and resets go in the middle, and that's no secret. If there is any, you know, of my opponents, any of my pro opponents watching this, I'm not telling them anything new, although I doubt that any of my pro opponents watch this show, or at least I hope they don't, because I'm giving them all the good stuff, all the good info. So anyway, that's how we are going to close out this episode. Thanks for watching, guys. As always, if you have any questions, you know, first of all, make sure you like and subscribe, because Selkirk TV is the best. They're letting me do this show. And, you know, we got my boy Josh here. He's hooking me up with everything I need. All I do is I just show up and talk. And Josh says that was good. So like and subscribe to Selkirk. And if you have any questions, leave them in the comments. Any pickleball related questions, if I like them, I'll probably answer them during the show. And if I don't like them, well, I'll probably still reply. So yeah, that's all we got. Thanks for watching.